to our evening service. Let's stand together and we'll begin our time of worship and song.
Christ is here. Together. Our Father, we are so grateful for the fact that you have given us Christ, that in Christ we have your wisdom, that in his word we have your mind revealed to us. Lord, we thank you that you are our God, and that in our most uncertain hour, you are our God and we are loved. Thank you for the reminder even this morning, Father, that you set your love upon us for nothing in us. You simply loved us because you loved us, because that is your own great heart. Lord, we thank you that you called us to yourself through the gospel. We thank you for the reality that our future, our eternity is secure in Christ, that we can only lose that inheritance if he loses his. Lord, we're so grateful to know you, to call you Father, and we're grateful for the privilege to gather again tonight to worship you, to worship you in song, to worship you in hearing the gospel through the testimonies that are shared, to worship you as the Redeemer, the God who saves. Lord, we're so grateful for that privilege tonight. I pray that you would encourage us through our time together, strengthen us, and Lord, above all, may your great name and everything connected with you be treated as holy, be set apart. We love you, and we thank you again that you are not only our Creator, but by your sovereign grace, you are our Redeemer. Through your Son, in whose name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight. It is our privilege to gather for a wonderful service of baptism. Let me say greetings to everyone, but especially a greeting to those of you and a welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. We're so glad you've come. Maybe you came because somebody you know is getting baptized. We're so grateful you've come to support them. Thank you for doing that. Or perhaps in God's providence, you didn't know there was a baptism service tonight, but you happened to be here. You chose to come and worship with us. You're in for a real treat. This is my favorite service at Countryside, and that is to hear from those whom God has changed. Let me begin by just reminding you of the spiritual reality that baptism pictures. I think there are many places in the New Testament that describe that, but I love, and maybe one of my favorite passages, in fact it is Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, where Paul describes our story, where we were dead, he begins the chapter, in trespasses and sins. That's how we were born in the world. Every single one of us was dead to God, disconnected from our Creator. As Paul puts it, we were without God in the world. That was our natural condition. That's how we were born. It's how we lived until God intervened. He goes on to describe how bad our situation was. He says we were dead to God, but we were also in slavery. He says we were enslaved to Satan and to his religious systems, the false religious systems and ideologies that rule this planet. We were enslaved to our flesh, to the appetites of our bodies and our minds. We simply gave in to whatever our bodies and minds commanded us to do. We were enslaved to the world in which we live, to the world system that Satan has constructed, that appeals to us in every conceivably wrong way. We were in slavery to all those things, Paul says. And worst of all, he says we were children of wrath. That is, we were so destined for God's just wrath against our sins, that it's as if wrath were our middle name. We were children of wrath. But then he says, but we were dead in trespasses and sins, but God made us alive. There was a moment in time when we heard the gospel, and through that gospel, the Holy Spirit of God gave us new life. As Jesus described it, it's like a new birth. But as Paul describes it in Ephesians 2, it's like a resurrection from the dead. He says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God made us alive. We heard the gospel. He gave us life. For the first time in our lives, we understood who we were, sinners. We understood who God was, that he was a savior, that he was our creator, that he deserved our love. He deserved everything from us. We exist for him. We understood that, and we understood him to be a merciful, saving God, who if we came to him in true repentance and faith in his Son, would redeem us, and he made us alive. We were dead, he gave us life. That's really the picture of baptism. Baptism doesn't save anyone. The water in this pool isn't miraculous. It doesn't really change anything spiritually in the persons who'll be baptized. It's a sign. It's an outward visible symbol of the spiritual reality that those who share their testimonies tonight were once dead to God. And that's the picture as I put them under the water. They're dead, and that person they used to be is dead and buried under the water. And when I bring them up out of the water, it's a picture that they now have new life in Jesus Christ. They have new life where they know God. They have a relationship with their Creator. And they will be with him, as Christ promised, forever. So dead, buried, and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. That's the picture of baptism. And all this does is picture that reality. So I hope as these folks come tonight to share their testimonies with you, to recount how they came to faith in Christ, that's already happened. And then as they're baptized, I hope you will realize the testimony. They are confessing Jesus as Lord, and they're confessing that though they were once dead in their trespasses and sins, God has raised them to new spiritual life, and they now know God, their Creator, as Father. You pray for them as they come now to share their testimonies with us.
Good evening. I'm Colin McDonald, and this is my testimony. I've been attending Countryside since I was 2 years old, so I've always been familiar with the gospel, but like many kids around high school, I was drawn in by the things of the world and the desire to fit in. Even though I still believed in God, my heart wasn't surrendered to Him. By the time COVID ended and it was my first 2 years of college, I had everything the world says should make you happy, but I felt empty and unsatisfied. In early November of last year, I prayed and asked Jesus to bring me closer to Him. That prayer was answered in a way that I never expected. Not long after, I became bedridden with a dysautonomia called POTS for about 3 months. It completely disrupted me and my family's life, and I had to go to the ER twice, drop my college classes, and move back in with my parents. I couldn't stand for more than a minute, and I couldn't eat for 3 of those weeks. At one point, it honestly felt like I might not have much time left. But through that suffering, which I now thank God for, He got my attention. I was scared, exhausted, and hopeless. One day, I got out of bed, opened my window, fell to my knees, and begged the Lord to not just take control of my health, but also my life. I was finally ready to surrender everything to Him. I stayed in front of that window for over an hour, praying, weeping, and listening to worship music. Even as I remained sick for the next couple of months, God lit a fire in my heart. I was reading scripture constantly, and it became one of the only things that brought me peace and contentment. God's word started to come alive. What once felt like just words now convicted me, guided me, and revealed how deeply I needed a Savior. I realized how my sin separated me from God, how Christ took my punishment on the cross, and that I could only be saved through faith in Him. One passage that meant a lot to me during that time was Romans 5:3-8. We also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless at the time, Christ died for the ungodly, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to even die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since then, I've been following Jesus with a new heart. He has changed almost every part of my life. I now find joy in fruitful things like reading scripture, understanding His word, and walking in obedience. I've learned to trust Him not only in the good times, but also in trials. About 3 months after surrendering to Him, I had improved drastically from my illness, which was something I truly believe He used to draw me near. Now I continue to grow in my faith throughout the week with the main service here on Sundays, Bible studies like Roots, Reading Plan, Tuesday nights at Denton Bible Church, and Wednesday nights at Roots. I'm growing in prayer, scripture meditation, and learning to live a life of repentance and gratitude, not just for myself, but as a witness to others. I am not perfect, but I've been made new, and by God's grace, I'm learning each day what it means to live as a disciple of Christ, and now I come to be baptized.
Colin, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. We really rejoice that even though it was through a hard time, God brought you to know Himself. The Puritans used to call that severe mercies, because in that time you came to understand the gospel, because you put your faith in the one that God demonstrated His love through on the cross. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Alice Wyatt, and this is my testimony. Before salvation, I was a spiteful sinner. As Romans 3:23 states, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." I lied and I hated, I was rude, and I had no respect for my parents or any authority. I didn't care about anything except for myself. But worse than that, I went to church and I put on a mask, and no one could ever have guessed the spiteful sinner I was at home. Every week, I heard truths about Jesus and about the Bible, And just like in 2 Timothy 3:15 says, from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But I didn't care. I was a hypocrite, and for the longest time I lived in sin, through elementary school and most of middle school. I don't know for sure the moment I was saved, but it was somewhere in late middle school or early high school. I remember talking with my mom one night about not understanding God's plan. Life had been crazy, and I was frustrated that I wasn't in control of my own future. Just like in Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. That night, I realized that no matter how hard I tried, no matter what I did, how much I worked, how fiercely I fought, I was not in control. I couldn't change myself or plan my way to peace. I couldn't even walk towards the light on my own. I'd come to the end of myself. And that was when I really heard God's plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Suddenly, everything became real. I was a sinner, a filthy, rotten sinner, like it says in Ecclesiastes 7:20. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. That included me. And there's a perfect, holy God. He requires perfection from every man. But I was not perfect, so I was condemned to eternity in hell. But God. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose from the dead for my sins. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess with our mouths our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That night, I was called to repent and believe, and for the first time, after hearing it hundreds before, I answered. I fell to my knees and prayed to God, asking him for forgiveness. Even though I'm now saved, my fight with sin is not over. I've had battles and wars with my flesh, and I don't always win. Throughout high school, I struggled to walk in faith and gave in to sin many times. I'm far from perfect, but now I regret my sin, something I never did before. I've begun to read my Bible daily, not to check a box, but to spend time with my Heavenly Father. I started praying and fighting daily to run to Christ, and even though I fail, I get up and choose to turn to him. I work to respect my parents and to love those around me. I strive to fellowship with the church and glorify God in my actions. I've seen fruit in my life that never existed before. Now, I still do this. I get up in the morning and turn to Christ, even when I don't always want to. I've learned that in sin, there are some things you just can't have. You can't have peace. You're always going to be stressed. You aren't promised tomorrow, and for someone who doesn't believe, that's terrifying. But Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's only one way to salvation and to true peace. Now I fight daily to live for Christ and lay down my will. I strive to pray daily and meditate on his word. I evangelize and yearn to grow and be more like Christ. Matthew 16:24 states, "Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I put to death the sin in my life daily, so I now can live in peace. Because of the truth in Psalms 118:14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." And that is why I'm here today to be baptized.
Well, Alice, we are so grateful to see God's work in your life, to see him, as you described it, bring you to the end of yourself, where your only hope was him. Because you have believed the truths of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. And because, as you quoted Romans 10, you have confessed Jesus as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Carter Wells, and this is my testimony. Before I came to Countryside, I always knew about Jesus, but never understood who he was, what he did, or why he came to earth. I was always around the gospel and around followers of Christ, but never truly learned who he was. After arriving at Countryside when I was 11, I struggled to pay attention during sermons and so on and so forth for about four more years. When I turned 15, however, it began to slowly dawn on me the cost of unrepentant sin and eternal brutal torment that would await me if I never became a disciple of Christ. This caused me to pay further attention during Sundays and led me to understand the purpose and importance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection on this earth. At some point during this process, I became saved. And according to Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. I began to make a conscious effort to pray more and effectively root out my daily sins. I learned more and understood how nothing happens in this world without a purpose, according to Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God. This helped me with anxiousness, especially during school when I would become filled with nervousness, but recall how everything is for a reason, which will allow me to calm down and regain my confidence and surety. My life since coming to Christ has allowed me to live a life more fulfilling and greater than before. I understand the weight of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and know that every sin I commit is a disgrace to He who underwent the punishment that I deserved. And it is because of this truth that I wish to be baptized here tonight.
Well, Carter, because you have come to understand that what your sins deserve, as you described it, and because you have put your faith in the one who bore your sins in His own body on the tree as your only hope of being right with God, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Sean Wells. As a child and teenager, I attended a Baptist church with my mother and sister. On May 10, 1981, I was saved in a traditional Baptist fashion with a public confession of my faith. It was our family church, as my mom still attends and I go when we visit. My father didn't attend, so it was short of a traditional family experience. As life moved on and adulthood came about, I found myself drifting further and further away from services and the Lord. Regular sin patterns emerged, and life as a Christian took a back seat. My wife and I would attend church on typical holiday celebrations, but never attended regularly. Looking back now, the Holy Spirit was at work, as there was always a tugging or drawing feeling, but I would constantly respond in a disobedient fashion. With the introduction of our youngest son, there was a lot of talk between my wife and I and an extra tug from the Holy Spirit to start regularly attending church services again. With that came the regular excuses, too busy, can't find a church we like, et cetera, et cetera. We then moved to Texas, and we were feeling more and more pressure to start attending as our son was 7 now, and we wanted him growing up knowing Christ and going to a church on Sunday as part of a normal week without fully realizing how truly lost I was. We started attending a couple of area churches. I'm not sure how to explain it, but we just didn't believe we were where we belonged. Then we had our first visit to Countryside and immediately knew we had found our home. We visited Israel with the church in 2019. Pastor Tom began to give a service near the probable location of Jesus' tomb. My mind started to drift away, and I began having this feeling of anger against God for doing such horrible things to Jesus. As I thought about it, I realized all that anger should be at me. God's anger at me demonstrated on the cross that day. Romans 5:9, much more, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Jesus died for our sins, and I was beginning to scratch the surface of what sacrifice our Lord Jesus made for us. Psalms 25:16-8. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look upon my afflictions and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Sometime after that, I can't pick the date out on the calendar, there was a realization that I needed to respond to the Holy Spirit and accept the help I needed in defeating sin, as we cannot do it alone and never completely. Galatians 5:16-17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets out its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. For me, scripture reading and studying has extremely helpful for establishing my faith and confidence in salvation. Having that confidence in God, knowing He is by my side at all times. One particular passage has really given me security, John 10:28, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. It is a great feeling to finally lose the anxiety about the little things, losing the guilt of continued sin patterns, although it is a constant process. No more asking yourself, am I really going to heaven? 1 John 3:24, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. It is a great feeling to celebrate and worship Christ in a fantastic place. Finding our Sunday school class was an important part of our Sunday. Home Bible study and meeting new and interesting folks has been a blessing. And the Partners Program has been extremely helpful in setting patterns of reading and prayer and daily visits from Pastor John MacArthur on the radio or internet. I am excited about completing this first order of obedience from our God, and that is why I'm here to be baptized this evening.
Well, Sean, we rejoice in God's work in your life. Thank you for sharing. We gratefully brought you here, but we gratefully used his truth to bring you to repentance. Because you have abandoned all hope in yourself of being right with God, and because you placed your hope in the one that God publicly displayed as a propitiation for our sins, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Brooke Bullard, and this is my testimony. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home and was generally receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, I wasn't saved. Sure, I was what most people would call a good kid, but I was not living my life for Christ. I was obedient most of the time, but that was probably mostly out of a fear of discipline. At the end of the day, I was still a selfish and depraved person living in the lust of my flesh. As Ephesians 2:3 says, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. As I grew up, the fact that I was not a believer in the Lord grew more evident. Outwardly, I still strived to appear as a good daughter and sister, but on the inside, my corrupt heart was clearer than ever. I was selfish. What I wanted was what mattered the most. I was also aggressive and mean to my little sister, treated her wrongly, and was being a horrible influence on her. I felt bad when I got caught in my sin, but I felt bad for that exact reason, because I got caught. In 2015, my family moved from Florida to Texas, and shortly after that, we found Countryside Bible Church. My parents immediately fell in love with the expository teaching style. Me, not as much, but I did enjoy attending the church's middle school program, but probably just for the social aspect and the fun. I don't think I had realized my true spiritual state yet, and I know I was not saved. I'm not sure when exactly I was saved, but it was probably somewhere in the middle to end of my high school years. In high school, I realized that I was a sinner in need of a savior, and I asked the Lord to be my personal savior. However, I don't think this is when the Lord saved me, but if it was, I was still a very weak believer who had much learning and growing to do. The gospel and having a relationship with Christ mattered to me, but there were definitely other things that mattered to me more. I wanted to be a Christian in order to fit in with my peers and especially to not go to hell. But I don't know if the desire to truly glorify God was there. Despite not knowing when exactly the Lord saved me, I know there was a point in my life when I truly came to believe that I, just like everyone else, was dead in my sin and destined for hell. Without Christ, that's exactly where I would have gone. But God, in his great love for me, saved me from my sin by sending Jesus into the world to live a perfect life, die on the cross, and rise from the dead, all to save sinners who repent and believe in the gospel. There was nothing I could have done to save myself, but God saved me. As Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I also know when I finally had assurance of my salvation. Before receiving assurance, I was a nervous wreck, questioning whether I'd actually be going to heaven if I died. It was always on my mind, and it was so troubling. Whenever I wasn't distracted by the happenings of my school and social life and just had time to ponder and reflect, I'd find myself praying for the Holy Spirit to come into my heart every few minutes. However, towards the end of my senior year in 2022, my life completely changed. Out of the blue, I became severely ill. I developed dysphagia, which is difficulty swallowing, and grew extremely fatigued when trying to safely eat. This led me to not eating enough and becoming malnourished. Eventually, I couldn't attend church regularly, nor begin my first year of college after high school graduation. Each day, I felt as if I was slowly dying, and though it was difficult for my mother to hear, I expressed to her that I thought perhaps the Lord was going to call me home. Without Christ, I would have felt hopeless. But instead, I had assurance of my salvation and eternal hope, which brought me peace in the midst of my storm. As Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." The next few months were physically and emotionally the hardest I've ever experienced, but the closeness that I felt to God comforted me. While working through feeding therapy to regain my ability to eat, I developed an autoimmune condition that caused me excruciating pain. I became super inflamed and developed a severe rash that left me unable to leave the house, care for myself, or really walk or move much at all. I required constant assistance, and at its climax, my mom became my full-time caregiver, with my dad and sister alternating when she needed a break. It was a deep valley for me and my family, but because of Christ, I strived to use the suffering to bring him glory. Most nights, when I couldn't sleep because of my pain, I would cry out to the Lord in prayer. When people questioned how I was able to keep a hopeful perspective during my affliction, I made sure others knew that it wasn't me, but Christ in me. I was always thankful for those opportunities to point others to Christ, as it helped encourage my own heart in the process. Christ sustained me as I continued to put my trust in him as sovereign God. There were still times when my heart would grow faint and I struggled with frustration and even anger at my circumstances. But in his graciousness and faithfulness, God would help me to come to right thinking. I repented whenever I wallowed in self-pity and sought to trust in him rather than lean on my own understanding. As Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Now, 3 years later, I'm doing significantly better. My health is and probably always will be an ongoing struggle, but my flares are much more manageable, and I am growing spiritually through the process. By God's grace, I have been able to attend church and college regularly. I admit that it's harder to keep my focus on Christ when I'm feeling healthier, because the temptation to think that I can be independent is stronger. But I still acknowledge that I am ever so dependent on the Lord and am constantly praying as I continue to grow in sanctification and become more and more like Jesus Christ with each passing day. As Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified of Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." I am not anywhere near perfect, and I never will be. I still struggle with my sinful flesh and still give in to the temptation to sin when I don't guard my heart. But now, unlike before, I hate my sin. My desire is no longer to live for the flesh, but to live for God and to bring him glory in all that I do. I am involved in ministry and serve in Awana, Children's Sunday School, and the nursery. I read my Bible regularly and enjoy being at church, not just for the social aspect anymore, but so that I can continue to learn more about God and worship him. I confess that I still let my mind get distracted at times during the service, but I do love being in the in-depth teaching of the Word and continue to pray that I will grow to be more disciplined in focusing during the sermons. I've also recently finished the Fundamentals of the Faith class so that I can grow in my understanding of what I believe and why I believe it and grow closer to Christ. I have surrounded myself with sisters in Christ, an amazing small group, and a wonderful godly mentor. I am so thankful to know that I am a new creature in Christ. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Because of this reality in my life, I am here right now to obey the Lord and be baptized to publicly show that I have given my life to Christ. Thank you.
Well, Brooke, again, we rejoice that God used difficult days in your life to direct you. We're grateful that he brought you to true repentance and faith because, as you shared with us, Ephesians 2:8-9, your confidence is not in yourself, but the grace of God shown to you in Jesus Christ because you have exercised faith in his Son, in his Son's life, death, and resurrection. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Marvin Huntley. I am 63 years old. I want to share my testimony. I was first baptized around the age of 6 or 7. At that time, I didn't truly understand what salvation meant. Like many children in the church that I was raised in, I knew the name of Jesus and that he was called Lord and Savior. I was baptized mainly because everyone else was doing it, and I didn't want to be left out. I assumed being baptized automatically meant that I was a Christian. And since no one told me otherwise, I believe I was saved. As I grew older, particularly around the age of 20, I read Romans 10 and 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I thought I was giving my life to Christ, Jesus Christ, by reading this verse. But that verse made me wonder, what about how you live? Isn't that part of being a Christian? By the age of 22, I began to read the Bible. I began to read in Genesis. But when I hit the genealogies, I gave up. Around the age of 25, I picked up the Bible again and started reading the Gospel of Matthew. When I got to Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect, I paused. That verse doesn't make sense to me because how could anyone be perfect? So I cried out to God and asked him for understanding and the strength to obey his word and be perfect because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. As time went on, I felt overwhelmed. I wanted to say to God, this is too hard. But the more I read, the more convicted I felt. Then I came across Romans 7:15-25, and it spoke directly to my struggle. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. Then verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That scripture helped me realize that the struggle with sin is real and ongoing. And salvation isn't about perfection. It's about grace, obedience, and a transformation through Christ. As I continued studying the Bible, I learned that sanctification is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It grows through obedience and a clear understanding of God's word. Today, I live my life for Christ. I love Jesus. I love his word. I love his people. And I love God the Father. I'm thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit in my life every day. When I first joined Countryside Bible Church, I did not consider getting baptized because I said I was too old. In 2019, Tom said something during Communion Sunday that made me change my mind. I was scheduled to be baptized in 2020, but everything got canceled. I was a little relieved because it was embarrassing because I was too old. I am ready to be obedient to God's word, this time with a full understanding and no embarrassment of what it means to follow Jesus. Thank you for listening to my testimony. I'm ready to be baptized.
Well, Marvin, we are so grateful for God's work in your life through the years, giving you a deeper and deeper understanding of his word. Because you understand your sin, because you understand the hopelessness of our condition apart from Christ, and because you have put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Ignacio Covian Vázquez. I was born in Spain and raised in a small town in the north of the country. I grew up in a close-knit and loving family, immersed in a Roman Catholic culture, baptized as a baby, and attending a Catholic school throughout my childhood and teenage years until I was 17. At the age of 10, I made my first communion along with my brother, something very traditional in Catholic life. But shortly after that, my life began to drift completely away from God. Despite receiving religious education, my life showed no evidence of a heart transformed by the gospel. As the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2:1-3, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. That was me. I wasn't a criminal by any means, but my heart was far from God. I lived for the approval of others, constantly trying to be admired and noticed in my town. I was prideful, often quick to anger, dishonest when it benefited me, and pursued relationships that dishonored God from beginning to end. My life was centered on selfish ambition. Proverbs 21:2 says, Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord wakes the heart. Looking back, I see how empty my pursuits were. I didn't want to be accountable to anyone but myself. I placed all my trust in human reason and science and rejected the truth of God. I remember once declaring with full conviction that I didn't believe God existed. And we see that Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Until I was 24, I lived according to my own understanding. But as Proverbs 3:5 commands, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. God, in his mercy, began to open my eyes. It started when my best friend, who had recently given his life to Christ, showed real change in his character and lifestyle. His transformation made me curious. As Jesus said, "You will recognize them by their fruits," Matthew 7:16. I began to read the Bible from time to time, though without commitment or understanding. After failing to achieve my goal of becoming a police officer in Spain, my parents encouraged me to go to the United States for a cultural exchange experience. In God's providence, I was placed with an American family who welcomed me into their home, and during my first week in the country, I had a conversation with the father of the family about his faith and what God had done in his life. They invited me to their church, and I started learning more about the differences between Catholicism and Protestant Christianity. It was during that time that I began to understand the message of the gospel, truly and personally, for the first time. As Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I learned that Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, lived a perfect and sinless life, yet died a criminal's death on the cross for me. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I came to understand that salvation is not earned by religious works or tradition, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, Titus 3:5. It is a free gift of grace received by faith. As it says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Jesus took my place on the cross, satisfying the justice of God. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I began to grasp what Jesus meant when he said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And as I repented and put my trust in Christ, the weight of guilt was replaced with peace, and my heart was changed. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Shortly after coming to Christ, I was introduced to the English classes at Countryside Bible Church. A few weeks later, several people invited me to attend a Sunday service. I went, and I immediately realized how little I truly knew about the Word of God. I had never heard Scripture taught with such clarity. As it says in Psalm 19:7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." That day marked a turning point. I realized the need to surround myself with mature believers and to grow in the faith. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." Since then, I've committed to learning the Word daily, participating in the life of the church, and trying to honor God in worship, service, and fellowship, pursuing holiness. I've begun to hate the sin I once loved. As Romans 6:22 says, "Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Now, I pray for those here tonight listening and might not know the Lord. As Paul did in Ephesians 1:17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." Nothing is more important to me than honoring the Lord with all my life. I want every word, every thought, and every action to reflect that I belong to him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Understanding what Romans 11:36 declares, For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So today, in obedience to Christ and with a heart full of gratitude for his mercy and grace, I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Ignacio, we rejoice in God's work in your life, that he has brought you to truly abandon all hope in yourself, all hope in your own works, your own righteousness, anything that you do or have done, and to put your faith entirely in the perfect life, the substitutionary death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because you have confessed him as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Everyone, my name is Molly Jane. I'm so thankful and blessed for the time that I have tonight to be able to be baptized in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is my testimony. Before salvation, I didn't live for the Lord, but for myself and my own dreams and goals. Of course, the Bible and God's Word fascinated me as a young child. It never really penetrated my heart. As a kid, my identity mattered when I had the audience of the world watching me. Of course, I was genuinely sweet and loving to my family and those around me. I didn't love the Lord or put him above them. Matthew 10:37-38 states, perfectly describes how I love my family over the Lord and how it caused me unworthiness before him. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I honestly don't remember the specific time I was saved by Christ, because throughout the years, I've had many spiritual highs and lows. I do know, though, that around the time I was halfway through my fourth grade year of school, God started to prod my heart. I was blessed with Mrs. Banky, my fourth grade teacher, who taught every subject, including the Bible. She helped make the pages of God's Word jump out at me and come to life. I became especially fascinated by King David. I was able to learn about his deep love for God. This deep, passionate love for God who can only be seen through the wind's blows fascinated me. I couldn't believe how amazing and great this love was. It was more immense, infinite, and beautiful than the love I had for my family. Not only was his love for God immense, but God's love for him was greater. I learned that not only did God love King David, but he loved me. I then and there decided that returning God's love would be the best thing to do. I mean, he sent his son for me. Why not? As I started to read the Bible and pray every morning and evening, I believed I was beginning to have a passionate love for God, a love as passionate as King David's. As I continued to grow and consume myself more of God's word, my profession of faith and love for God started to falter. As I continued to learn and read about King David, I learned about the great sin he made against God. This hurt me deeply. Sadly, this new knowledge only grew seed of pride in my heart and furthered my belief that I love God perfectly and that there is proof to that due to how much God has blessed me throughout my life. In 2021, my family and I moved to Texas from California. I was going into fifth grade at the time. I was excited for this change in my life. This joy and excitement died quickly as the school year approached. At school, I was made fun of for my innocence, faith, how I looked, and my academic performance. I was picked on and bullied until my whole being seemed to be crushed and broken. My thought life was consumed by the taunting lies, "You're not good enough, you're worthless, and do you really think God would love someone like you?" Even after my parents pulled me out of the terrible school, my mind was still swarmed with these lies. During my sixth grade year, I started to do school at home. Although it took a bit of time, I began to get used to being around kids again and was able to become less insecure with myself. I started going to once-a-week classes and joined a homeschool basketball league. I started to go to youth group, and that helped a lot. I began to learn more about God and how he isn't just a God of love, but a God of justice and judgment. Between listening to teachings in youth group and in big church, I was able to see my sin and how I left God only because of a trial in my life. I realized I only believed in fourth grade because nothing wrong happened to me, and I was a very prideful person. My love for God wasn't deep at all or real. I was able to learn through the teachings of Job that shouldn't be the good things that happen to us in life that makes us love God, but because we simply just love him, and he deserves our love and adoration. It's like how God chose to send us his son and be merciful to us, not because of what we've done, but because of his merciful, loving character. Judges 3:5 states, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. There is no catch to why he chose to send his son to die for us, nor should there be for us to love him. During this time of my life, God opened my eyes. This is when I began to submit my life to him. Now that I have come to Christ, I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. I am still a sinner, but now when I sin, God places hurt and grievance on my heart. I no longer want to live for myself and for others' expectations, but for Christ. These past couple years I've had trials, but through the trials I now consider and fix my eyes on joy. James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. I meditate on what's true and the promises that God has given me and hasn't broken. I display my love for God by making sure he is the center of everything I do, whether it's playing basketball or singing to him, dedicating every verse to him. I rejoice in my fellow believers' faith and enjoy communion with them. I make sure to read God's word daily, whether it's through a devotional or a reading plan. Whenever I'm anxious or worried, which is the sin I struggle the most with, I bring my fears to the Lord in prayer. Through prayer, I am able to feel comfort, knowing my Creator is sure and true. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is refined. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. After many years of thinking I knew what love was, I finally know the true meaning of it and find it in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, which beautifully states, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Because of Christ's love, I am here today to be baptized.
Well, Molly, we're so grateful that you came to really understand the twin truths of the gospel, that God is a God of justice, and his justice demands that our sin be paid for. But because you've also come to understand that that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son for you, so that because you have come to trust in him, you have eternal life. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Tagan Petty, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian household coming to Countryside all my life. I was taught the importance of the Bible and following God. I believed in God and would talk to him through prayer, but I was a sinner. I thought just believing God existed was enough, but as James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. I was a liar and a tattletale, only looking to get others in trouble for no reason. I sinned and shifted the blame for whatever I did. I was dishonest, prideful, and selfish. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Spiritually, I was dead. Praying to a father who wanted to know me, but I didn't want to take the time to get to know him. I prayed to God, not realizing that I had no relationship with him. The Lord caught my heart at a young age. I ran out of my Sunday school classroom, repeating to my mom joyfully, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. I always knew the right thing and wanted to do the right things, but I hadn't cared to ask God to cleanse me. I had many conversations with my parents about what it meant to be a Christian. Then, one night when I was in bed, I heard my older brother talking to my parents. He reminded me of my own conversations. My eyes were open, and I realized that I had never thought it important enough or cared enough to repent and ask God to forgive and help me. Also, that life is not something I should go through alone. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I asked myself, how can I serve the Lord and others if I haven't even asked him to be Lord of my life? I repented that night and asked God to help me live a life that serves others through his will. Since then, I read the Bible and go through the reading plan created by Countryside every day. God used the trials in my life, like the year and a half I spent chasing love, popularity, and worldly things, to show me that none of those truly matter. They never did, and they never will. God has grown my faith and taught me to trust him with every moment of my life. James 1:2-3 says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The trials I have gone through have truly been blessings. They have taught me wisdom and patience for the Lord's plan. My habits became more focused on how I can serve others instead of myself. Now, every chance I get, I try to help anyone I can. Through God's grace, I have served where the Lord has called me, and as a result of his blessing, have been an example of Christianity, as well as a servant people can rely on. The Lord has allowed me to have so many opportunities to serve those around me and display the character that he wants me to. As I begin my journey in college, I want to be able to serve God and others by sharing the gospel with all the people I can. So now I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Tagan, we rejoice in God's work in your life, that you overheard that conversation, that you understood your own sin, that as the Lord commanded, you have repented of your sin and you have put your faith in him as your only hope of heaven, your only hope of being right with God. Because you have confessed him as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Micah Ragsdale, and this is my testimony. The gospel begins with the fact that God is holy and perfect, and he created everything. He created Adam and Eve to be perfect, but they sinned because of their disobedience. Sin and death entered the world as a result. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray and turned to his own way, but God has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. However, because God, in his rich in mercy, he gave his only perfect son to live on, to live the perfect life and to die on the cross and to save us from our sins. In order to be right with God, Mark 1:15 says, repent and believe in the gospel, and if you believe, God will forgive your sins and grant you eternal life. I grew up in a Christian home with parents who loved the Lord and who served him in our church, so we had to go to church. And I went to church, and I just put on my good Christian face because I didn't want people to think I wasn't saved. But when I got home, I was a whole different person. I did enjoy going to church, though. I got to see my friends and hang out with them, but I never wanted to go to worship God. I only cared about myself and loved my sin. And when I sinned, I didn't really care. But when I felt guilty, I asked God and prayed for forgiveness, but I didn't care about receiving forgiveness of sins. I just wanted to feel better, and then I'd do the same sin over and over again. And when people asked me if I was saved, I would just make up a story. I struggled with anger, respecting and obeying my parents, and so many other sins, and just gave in to any desires of the flesh without giving any thought to my sin. And when I felt guilty and thought of hell, as Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift to God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'd be terrified not be able to sleep some nights, but I still wanted my sin. I thought I was saved for a little bit because I said a prayer, but my life did not show any fruits or change. Sometime during my junior year, God saved me. I wanted to be right with God, and I repented and believed in the gospel, as Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. For a time, I struggled with assurance of salvation because my life was far from perfect. However, I began noticing a hatred for sin and a love for God. During my senior year, I saw more substantial growth and more love for my Savior who died for me and saved my soul. I've seen my love for his word and prayer life increase, as well as a genuine love for others develop. I don't do it even close to perfect, but I know by his grace I can kill my sin and be more like Christ. Now that I am a believer, my life looks so much different. I want to go to church to worship God and to have fellowship with other believers, and desire to grow more in the Lord. And I'm so thankful that I get to know what God has revealed in his word. Matthew 13, 11 through 12 says, "To you has been granted to know the mysteries of his kingdom, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. God save me and enable me to know and comprehend all that God tells in his word." And it's incredible. I love going to church and reading my Bible and praying, and I've seen so much fruit in my life. I still struggle with anger and different sins, but I strive to put off and have self-control. And when Satan tempts me, it is so much easier for me to say no because I have the Holy Spirit in me. I've seen growth in respecting and obeying my parents. I'm so thankful that God chose me to be his child. And now I want to live my life to glorify him and please him and one day be with him forever. For those of you who have not placed your faith in the Lord and have not given your life to him, you are separated from God and headed straight to hell. God sent his perfect son to be perfect, to live, to die, to rise again so that we can have a way to be right with our Creator and spend eternity with him. All you have to do is confess your sins, truly mourn over your sin, and place your faith in our great God who loved you so much and gave his only son. And because of this, because God saved me, I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Micah, thank you, and we're so grateful that you came to really understand the gospel, that the Lord drew you to himself through that gospel message and brought you to repentance and faith, produced those in you. And because you have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening, everyone. Hello, my name is Esther Kiyogora. I didn't grow up in a deeply religious household, but faith was always present in the background. We occasionally attended a Catholic church in my neighborhood, mostly influenced by close family friends. I was baptized in third grade, and even recall considering the idea of becoming a nun as I grew older. At about 12 or 13 years old, I attended a church where I was prayed over by a preacher, fell to the ground, and was told that that meant I had been saved. I accepted it without question, not realizing at the time how little I understood about the gospel, sin, or grace. And so for many years that followed, I was spiritually lost, living a life of sin that utterly dishonored God, putting my desires first. I believed whatever seemed reasonable in the moment, and some zodiac sign defined my identity. I often found myself pursuing ideas rather than seeking the truth. 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4 summed up that phase of my life when Paul writes, "For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths." After getting married, my husband and I joined a church in Phoenix affiliated with Gateway. When we later moved to Texas, we naturally began attending Gateway and stayed involved for about 6 years. It was during that time that I began questioning what I was being taught. Something felt off. I found myself craving more depth, more truth. I began reading scripture intentionally, slowly, prayerfully, even copying entire books of the Bible by hand to try to understand God's word for myself. God's word in Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil." What I didn't realize then was that I was longing for sound doctrine, teaching rooted in scripture, not based on emotion or experience. By God's grace, I came across sermons by John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, Vordi Bauckham, and Paul Washer on YouTube. And through their faithful teaching and preaching, God opened my eyes to the beauty and depth of his word. Psalm 119:130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." That journey eventually led us to Countryside Bible Church, where we finally found that what we'd been missing, biblical truth taught with clarity, reverence, and a total commitment to scripture. Looking back, I can see that God had been drawing me to himself all along. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count as slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's in 2 Peter 3:9. I had heard the message of Christ dying on the cross countless times before, but it had never been presented with clarity. There was no real teaching on sin, no call to repentance, no true understanding of my desperate need for a savior. Everything began to change at Countryside under the faithful preaching of Pastor Tom. For the first time, I began to grasp the full picture of the gospel. I learned that salvation isn't about repeating a salvation prayer after every sermon just to check a box. It's about recognizing that Jesus bore the wrath I deserved. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." I came to understand justification, that I was not only forgiven but declared righteous before God, not because of anything I had done, but solely because of Christ's finished work. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This truth shattered my shallow assumptions and brought a new awareness of my sin and the depth of God's grace. I finally understood that salvation is a gift, not something to be earned or maintained through effort. "For by grace you have been saved through faith," Ephesians 8:9 says, "and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, but so that anyone may boast." That's when I knew I had truly come to saving faith, not through an emotional high, but through the steady conviction that the gospel is true. Christ is enough, and he is the Lord of my life. Since coming to Christ, my life has gained a clarity and purpose I never had before. The gospel is no longer an abstract idea. It's the very foundation of my identity. I now know that my life is not my own. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "You are not your own, for you have been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." God's word has become my daily guide, not just something I read for inspiration, but the authority I joyfully submit to. One of the most profound changes has been how I discern the truth. Before, I was easily swayed by anything that sounded compassionate or felt right. Now, I test everything against scripture. We are commanded to do so in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "But examine everything. Hold firmly to that which is good." I no longer seek emotional experiences or human-centered messages. I long for truth that exalts Christ and calls me to holiness, my desire isn't just to know about God, but to know him personally and walk in obedience to his will. I'm more prayerful, more aware of my need for grace, and even more intentional with my time and relationships. That's not to say that my life is now easy. Sanctification is a daily battle. I still wrestle with pride, distractions, and self-reliance, but I'm no longer walking in darkness. I am grounded in truth, strengthened by grace, and supported by a faithful church. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son." I am comforted by Philippians 1:6. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus." To grow in Christ, I spend my time studying studying God's word daily, both personally and with my family. I am learning to memorize scripture so that I just don't know the truth, but live it. But most importantly, so that I may not sin against God, as Psalm 119:11 says. This time in God's word fuels confidence in the gospel and gives me boldness to share it, especially with family and friends. I no longer shy away from hard conversations because I believe pointing people to Christ is the most loving thing I can do. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, as Romans 1:16 says. Through God's word, prayer, and faithful teaching, I'm learning to walk with Christ purposefully, anchored in truth, dependent on grace, and I'm grateful to be supported by a faithful church. And this is why I am here to be baptized today.
Well, Esther, we are so grateful that the Lord brought you to understand that your hope was not in your own works, where you started, that your hope is not in an experience, but your hope is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel. Because you have put your confidence and hope in the God who was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He who made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Because that's your hope. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a wonderful evening. If your own heart isn't stirred by that, then I'm not sure you know the grace of God yourself. It's wonderful to hear their stories, to be reminded of God's work in their lives, and to be reminded of his work in ours. Because as we were reminded this morning, our circumstances are different in which God brings us to himself, but our biography ultimately is the same. And we rejoice in what God has done in the lives of each of these. I hope you'll pray for them. If you know some of them, make sure you find them and tell them you're encouraged by their testimony. Let them know you'll be praying for them. If you're here tonight and you heard your own story echoed in one of the stories that were told, and you realize that you have not yet repented of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's our prayer for you tonight, that before you go to bed, you'd find yourself alone with God, crying out in repentance and faith in the one he sent to save us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so grateful for the gospel. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you so loved this world, that you sent your only begotten Son. You sent him as one of us to live among us, to live a perfect life of obedience to you, the only one who is perfect as you are perfect. And we thank you that he then, the only perfect one, died for sins, not for his own because he had none, but for ours who would trust in him. Thank you that you raised him from the dead, proving that he was your son and is your son, and that his work on the cross purchased our forgiveness. Thank you that our hope in him will never cause us to be ashamed. I pray that you would encourage those who shared their testimonies with us tonight, who have come to know you through your son. Lord, we pray for Colin, for Alice, for Carter, for Sean, for Brooke, for Marvin, for Ignacio, for Molly, Tagan, for Micah and Esther. Lord, each of their testimonies were such an encouragement. I pray you would continue the work that you have begun in their hearts. Thank you for the reminder, even in Esther's testimony, that you will complete what you have begun, and you'll bring it to perfection at the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those here tonight who don't know you, and pray that you would bring them to true repentance and faith, even tonight. Thank you again for your grace. Lord, where would we be without your grace? We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together and we'll close in song.
substitute.